you love me anyway. Twice nothing in life that I've ever known. Yes, you love me anyway. Oh, Lord, how you love me. Yes, you love me anyway. It's like nothing in life that I've ever known. Yes, you love me anyway. Oh, Lord, how you love me. How you love me.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. Get your Bibles out. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at somebody and say, God's awesome. Y'all can do better than that. Come on, God is awesome. All right. Get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you don't know what 1 Corinthians is, it's right before 2 Corinthians. All right. First Corinthians 13, and again, today is what? And so because of that, and Back to Basics Sunday, we started last week on Back to Basics, and really wanted to do something for Valentine's Day, so what better basic to go to than the basic of love? Amen? When Jesus talked about how the disciples known that they are His disciples, how did they know? Because you love one another. John says that his description of God, that God is love. So it's a very powerful thing. Love is very, very powerful. I'm going to do just a few slides from last week, not many, just so you can be congruent with what's coming on this week. But let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity. When I say charity, I want you to say agape, okay? Ready? Let's try it again. That's my fault. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Charity never faileth, but whether it be prophecies, they shall fail, whether it be tongues, they shall cease, whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Meaning it's coming today, when we're going to be able to see all this straight on how it's supposed to be. Amen? Isn't that going to be cool? When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. For now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I'm also known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity, agape. Ready to stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you, God, for all you do and say in your word, for the power that you have showed us so many times. Ask you right now, Lord, to minister, Lord, to us and through us, Father. Make the difference that only you can. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. Oop, I forgot to change that. I don't need the words to the song when I'm getting ready to preach. Amen. Let's see here. Let's see if I can find that little. There we go. There goes another one. Get out of here. Another one bites the dust. Do-do-do-do-do. As long as I'm not biting the dust, we're all right here. All right, come on. Ain't God good? Yeah, sometimes you just ain't got enough hands to get it done. Amen. I know y'all have never experienced that, right? If you're a parent, if you're self-employed, if you just have, if you, especially nowadays in the employment world, they're trying to get three times as much work done with one third of the people. Amen. Here we go. Let's see if I can get this thing going here. Let's see here. There we are. Here we go. Talking about love again. Back to basics, love. Let me tell you something. This is not in the Bible. This is not in the Bible, so don't tell anybody that I found this in the Bible. But I can tell you that these words that he said is virtually in the Bible if you watch the story. So let me just tell you this. Top 10 pickup lines from Adam to Eve. Back to basics. You can't take it any further back than that. Number 10. Let's see if I got it up here. Here it goes. Let's go. Here we go. Top 10 pickup lines used by Adam. Here we go. Number 10. You know you're the only one for me. Number 9. You come here often? Number 8. Trust me, this was meant to be. Number 7. Look around, baby. All the other guys around here are animals. Okay. Number 6. Already feel like you're part of me. Get it? Rib out? Okay. Yeah, she just kept ribbing him on. All right. Number 5. Honey, you were made for me. Number 4, why don't you come over to my place and we can name some animals? This is a good book here. This is from the good book. All right. Not the good book, the Bible, but, you know, from the good joke book. All right. Number 3, you're the girl of my dreams. Get it? He was a guy put him to sleep when he. Okay. If I got to explain everyone, it's not that great, okay? That was better than that stuff, okay? All right. He said it. Y'all wanted to, but he said it. Give him the ever being bold. All right, ready? Number 2. I like a girl who don't mind being ribbed. All right, number one pick from Adam is you're the apple of my eye. And then it was on. amen. All right, that was good, wasn't it? All right, talking about love. Okay. Let's just go ahead, and I'm just going to go through some of the, just quickly, because some of y'all weren't here last week. You might not have seen it on Facebook, and so you might know where we're coming from. So just quickly, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it like I did last week. I tried to build a case last week with it. I'm not going to build it this week. Just going to do it. Love, what is it? It's misrepresented and misunderstood. We always talk about what we love and what we just love, and I can't do without it. I just live it, and we don't know what we're talking about. Amen. We have no idea what we're talking about by love. Love is overused in the other ways. It's underused in God's way. Okay, so we always talk about, I love it, I love you. You know, I get a couple women get me to get married, and I'll say, why do you want to marry him? She goes, because I just love him. I love him so much I can eat him. and asked the man, why you wouldn't marry her? I love her too. 6 months after they're married, they come to me and they're falling all to pieces. And she goes, I thought you loved him enough to eat him. She said, I do, but I wish I had already done it. Just ate him and got him out of here. All right. So here we go. Again, the types of love in the Bible, there's four types mentioned in the Bible. You gotta know what you're looking for in order to find it, because it's not necessarily says love, so you gotta know exactly what you're looking for. But first, there's Eros love, which is a passion, it's a sexual attraction. It gives to one another, giving and expecting to receive. That's between a man and a woman, a man and his wife. Then there's storge love. Storge love is a love that is an affection for the family. It also gives and it expects to receive. It protects. And then there's phileo, or love, or where we get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Again, it's a deep affection for somebody. They're all based on likes and dislikes. They're all based on physical attraction and mental attraction. So there's attractions taking place in all of this, and there's bonds taking place in all of this. But out of all those I just talked about, again, I'm rushing through. Last week, we took a long time for this, not today. Eros, storge, and philia, they all give and expect to receive. But agape is the fourth type of love. Agape is the greatest love you'll see mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned more times than anything else when it comes to love. It's a sacrificial love that does well for somebody no matter what. You know, DC told me yesterday they were out looking for a man in the water, and they were out for 10 hours out there in the cold and in the rain. You know, that was agape love, because he'd rather been home, you know, in the warm, you know, playing a game with his daughter or doing something like that. But he was out doing something like that. When firemen go out running a building, risk their life, when policemen risk their lives every day. When you got something going on, but you stop what you're doing, it needs to be done to help somebody else or to meet their need at a cost to yourself, that's when agape is kicking in. It's not based on attraction. It's not based on emotion. Okay? It demonstrates kindness and benevolence, even in the midst of stormy situations. It cares. It gives. It works for others good. And again, it gives without expecting to receive. So again, and here's the last slide, and then we're going to go right into this week. Agape is not measured by words. I hear people all the time say, you know, they said they were going to do something. They go, yeah, with their mouth. You ever had that? Have you ever said that? Yeah, you tell me you love me with your mouth. You tell me you're going to help me with your mouth. You tell me that you're here with your mouth, but I don't see it. Okay? Then by intentions, you know, well, they meant to do good. They meant to do this. You know, when I'm in need or I've got a problem to be solved, honestly, and you the same way, you know, I don't need your intentions. I need your help. Okay? There's a difference in intentions and help. I'm going to give you a little hint here. When somebody's in trouble or somebody's having some hard times and you're praying for them, please go to them and tell them you're praying for them. Go to them, tell them you're praying for them. Go to them and let them know that you're there to help. Because a lot of times what people do is when somebody, after it's all over with, well, I was praying for you. Well, that's good, and that helps, but you know what? It would have meant a whole lot more if you'd have told me when I was going through it. Then that would have helped lift me up. Or if I'd have told you when you were going through it, then it would help you be lifted up. And actions by themselves are not always agape love. Because remember, agape is attitude in action. I'm doing this because I want to be like my Savior, and I'm doing this for somebody else's benefit. Okay, new slides. Last week we talked about John 3:16. John 3:16 tells us of God's love expressed. Okay? His love was expressed by giving his son, for God so loved the world that he gave. And that word gave means he sent him to do what needed to be done no matter the cost. Wow. What's that thinking? The word gave means he gave him to do what needed to be done, to get it done, no matter the cost. All right? And that was through the life of Christ and the cross. All right? Now, 1 Corinthians 13, which is what we just read, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 13, tells us of God's love exemplified. Not expressed necessarily, although it's going to be, but exemplified through you. John 3:16, that's God, His Son. 1 Corinthians 13, see, Corinthians was having a problem. Corinthian church, they were known for all the things they could do, all these spiritual hoops they could jump through, but they were killing each other. They were just tearing each other apart. They were just having the worst of times. And so Paul, when they're bragging about who's got the most gifts and who can do this and who can do that, Paul said, okay, I'm going to make a sandwich here. In chapter 12, I'm going to talk about the gifts. In chapter 13, I'm going to talk about the administration of gifts, or 14. But in 13, I'm going to tell you what the meat of this is. The works of God, the meat of the works of God in anybody's life is always shown by love. Satan can imitate the gifts. Listen carefully. I say it all the time. Satan can imitate the gifts, but he can't imitate the fruit. Amen? I've seen people talk around how spiritual they are. Show me how spiritual they are. Walk around. You know, I used to work with people, and it's just when they get around them, they know I'm a preacher, and they get around me, and they do like this, and just start quoting the Bible to me. Show me all the scriptures they learned. And then we'll have a showdown. Who can quote the most scriptures? But you know what? That didn't impress me. But when I was hurting, and he put his arm around me and said, I'm here for you, buddy. That's what impressed me. Okay? Satan can imitate the gifts. He can. The Bible says in Revelation, you're going to fool all these people for the first 3.5 years, even Israel, because he's going to be using the gifts. But they're going to find out that he cannot imitate the fruit. It's just a little thing he does for a little while. Pretty soon it'll be known. And you watch people that you think are so spiritual. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. They'll know, the world will know you're my disciples, not by how you use the gifts, but how you love. Number one, love. And love is not some mushy-gushy thing. It's agape love. All right? So here we go. Let's just go down 1 Corinthians a little bit, and we'll talk about it a little bit at a time. All right? Y'all ready? Y'all say, let the plow down, Pastor. Let the plow down. Come on. Somebody say that. I'm glad y'all said that. Now I will. That's awesome, bro. All right. Okay. All right, here we go. Ready? We just read this. You know, I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not love, I'll become a sounding brass and a clinging cymbal. You know, when all the music's playing together in harmony, it's a wonderful thing. But if you can have one or two strings out, you can forget the whole everything else. You know, everything's in harmony, you're just worshiping. Or you're thinking there's one little string, one little thing, one bad note, and ooh, you know, because that becomes a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, right? It draws attention to itself in a negative way. And that's what it says here. People that do that without love, they're drawing attention to themselves, not God, to themselves in a very negative way. So here's the characteristics of agape. First, it says love is patient. I said how patient y'all were. Okay, that word patient literally means long and tempered. Long and tempered. It literally means the power to avenge yourself, but you refuse to. Wow. How many said, I felt a whole lot better if I could just get to them? I felt a whole lot better if I could just give them the right hand and left hand of fellowship. That word patient there means the power to avenge yourself, but you don't. How many remember this famous guy? I think he's kind of famous, Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, when he was running for president, one of his most outstanding political enemies was Edwin J. Stanton. Stanton, he wanted to be president too. He just tried his best to in a negative way, paint Lincoln in a way so nobody wanted to vote for him. He called him a low, cunning low, cunning clown. He called Abraham Lincoln the original gorilla. He said, it's ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see a gorilla when they could just easily find one in Springfield, Illinois. Wow. You can tell he loved that guy. To Lincoln's credit, when Lincoln was made president, first off, before he was made president, he never responded. Never responded to the insults. Not one time. And when he was elected president, Lincoln was trying to make a good cabinet. And so he chose Stanton to be a Secretary of War. When they asked Lincoln, why in the world would you pick a man that called you a gorilla and a low, cunning clown? Why would you pick him to be your Secretary of War? He said, simply because he is the best man for the job. Years later, when Lincoln was assassinated, Stanton was there. Stanton saw him take his last breath. Stanton stood by the coffin which contained Lincoln's body and through tears said, here lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen. Patient love in action won this man over. Wow. Let me ask you a question. With the definitions I just gave you of love as patient, do you kind of follow that definition or do you kind of make up your own? Number one, and I'm, by the way, my name is David. I love you. I'm your friend. Amen? All right. You're saying it don't sound like it. You're trying to clear some weeds out. Yeah, I am. All right, ready? Love is kind. That refers to, listen to this, is to show oneself useful. Show oneself useful. Remember, this is love. Agape is love in action. You don't just talk a good talk. You walk a good talk. Amen? It means literally, you put yourself out there and you do what needs to be done. It's taking patience to the next step. It's an act of goodness that goes forth on behalf of others. God, genuine love is never hateful or mean. It respects others and reaches out to them. Okay? So love is kind, which means you're more than just saying, you look nice today. We used to have a thing that we used to say when I was pastoring Benson. It was a joke. But I'd walk up and say, or somebody would walk up to me, I'd walk up with my guys, and I'd see them struggling. They'd see me struggling. I'd go, need some help? He said, no, just give me 5 minutes. just give me 5 minutes. I won't need it then. Amen? You know, reach down. Pick something up. Do something. Kindness is more than this. Okay? Put these in action. All right. Love knows no envy. Envy. You know, I hear them say there, what's that? They're what color with envy? They're, well, when I think about green, who's the cartoon character when he turned green and he got bad? The Hulk. I've seen some folks get envious. I mean, envious. You work with them and they love you to death till all of a sudden you start getting more applause than they get, and all of a sudden now they don't like you. Or they want you with them all the time, but as soon as you get more credit than they do, they push you to the side. They're with you as long as you drive an old clunker like they're driving. But you drive something nice and all of a sudden they don't want you anymore. Why? Look at this. Envy. To boil. What's in it for me? All about me. Wow. Love is not jealous over the abilities and success and possessions of others. Instead of being jealous when others prosper or excel, love is pleased when somebody else does well. It pleases me when I see y'all do good. It pleases me when I see y'all excelling. I'm telling you, when you get this kind of attitude, then all of a sudden you're not trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm going to tell you something. We'll get one up and on the Joneses is not a good thing. Okay? It'll get you in more debt and get you, people are buying things they can't afford buying things they don't need that they can't afford to impress people they don't like. I had a friend of mine that was like that at Procter & Gamble. And one day, he drove home, and he drove to a stoplight. He drove to the stoplight. There was a bunch of girls in the car beside him. They looked at him, and they just kind of started giggling. And he went, I know I'm looking good. And so he just kind of goes about like this. Goes to the next stoplight. They pull up beside him. They're looking again. Now they're pointing. He's going, that's right. After about the fourth stoplight, he's really doing it now. He's doing it. And then he looked in his rearview mirror and he realized something. He was still wearing his big old white hairnet from work and they were laughing at him. He thought he was the talk of the town. He was. Amen. But not what he thought. Amen. He was thinking, I must really be looking good to them girls. Yeah, he really was. Amen. So now here's another one. Get ready. Love is not boastful. The vaunt not itself. That's what vauntive means. Literally, it means it does not make a parade. That's what the word in the Greek means. I do not make a parade. Okay? You know, I've seen some guys, literally, I've seen some guys, here's what they'd sing. I'm trying to talk to them, and they're going, how great I am. How great I am. I'm still trying to talk to them, and all I keep hearing is, how great I am. How great I am. Sometimes I like to turn around and just go. Let me tell you something. That's not how it is. You don't boast and brag on yourself. You don't draw attention to yourself. It means to play the braggart. Literally, it's boasting is playing a part. It's literally a theatrical term to play the part. All right? Y'all ready to move on a little bit? Somebody said, please move on. Okay. Love is not proud or puffed up. Okay? It's not arrogant. Matter of fact, it means puffs up or to be inflated. It realizes that all it has, all it is, all it's ever going to be, this person realizes that it comes from God. Everything I am. Everything. I you know what? It can be taken so fast. Everything you own can be taken so fast. One phone call. One call from the doctor. Remember telling y'all about Daddy was going to retire? And he was going to have his own car shop in the backyard. He built the garage. He had the stuff out there. Had him a welder, heater, air. Had all kinds of stuff going. He was starting to build it all up. So he could retire. Him and Mama were just going to sit back, and he was going to spend a lot of time with Mama. And her heart went bad. And then she went through the next few years. It started with a spot on her head, diabetes. They had to wind up cutting her head and cutting her head and cutting her head, and they wind up, it was terrible. And they let it kept it packed for months, trying to let it heal from the inside out. And by the time they got that going, she started having pains in her chest. And I found out that the diabetes now was causing heart disease. I mean, I can't even talk about it. Artery disease, coronary artery disease. And then she had like 10 surgeries, all that stuff Daddy Mama talked about. And I remember, after her last surgery, after she lost both of her legs all the way up to her hip, and she had had all these open heart surgeries, and they literally had taken her heart out because it had had an aneurysm the size of a lemon, and they had to take her heart out and cut it. Her blood pressure was never right after that, like a normal person. And I remember on Thanksgiving, we all got together. She was finally out of the hospital. We spent 3 or 4 years, every holiday was in the hospital or rehab. And I remember that year, Mama was home, and we got around, and we had a good Thanksgiving. Mama said, can y'all put the Christmas tree up for me? She never put the Christmas tree up for Thanksgiving. They put the Christmas tree up. It was artificial. And then she said, y'all decorate it. She was telling us how to decorate it. We did all that. And she was just having a good time. We were singing Christmas carols. And we just had the best time. And when we all left, she told Daddy, she says, honey, can I go home? He said, dear, you are home. She said, no. Can I go home? In a matter of weeks, she was gone. It's amazing how it went from building up so they could retire to holding it together so they could just spend the last moments together with the family. See, things change. They change all the time. So look, don't be proud. Be thankful. Be humble. True love, agape love, is humble. Love is not rude. That word rude means literally, unshapely, not pretty to look at. And you know, I've seen some of the most awesome looking people with some of the worst attitudes, and I wouldn't want to be around them. Amen. It's just hard to be around somebody with that. They always treat others with, they want everybody to treat them with compassion and respect, but they don't treat other people that way. They just push them away like they're nobodies. Love is not self-seeking. Never selfish. Never worshiping yourself. And love is not easily angered. The word anger is to exasperate, to sharpen alongside. It's the exact opposite of patience. I'm getting almost through here. I know some of y'all are saying, please hurry up. Because there's a lot of ouchies in here, isn't there? I promise you, they ouched me too. It weren't just you, they ouched me too. All right? Love keeps no records of wrongs. Dwelling on somebody else is evil. How many here's ever been hurt by somebody? I'm gonna try this. If y'all can't see my stool, you're gonna think he's an awesome dude. Let me tell you the story. Have y'all ever heard about this Baptist preacher named Stephen Olford? Everybody heard of Stephen Olford? He's not from around here. He was a Baptist pastor during the American Revolution. Peter Miller, who lived in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, that's where they lived at, they enjoyed a fellowship with George Washington. In Ephrata also lived a man named Michael Whitman. Michael Whitman was an evil-minded sort who did all he could to oppose and humiliate the pastor. One day, Michael Whitford was arrested for treason and sentenced to die. Peter Miller traveled 70 miles on foot to Philadelphia to plead for the life of the traitor. No, Peter, George Washington said, I cannot grant you the life of your friend. My friend, exclaimed the old preacher, he's the bitterest enemy I have. What? Cried Washington. You've walked 70 miles to save the life of an enemy? That puts the matter in a whole different light. I grant you your pardon. This true story. He granted him the pardon, and they walked 70 miles back the other way. Peter Miller took Michael Whitman back to Ephrata, no longer an enemy, but a friend. Wow. Keep that list short. Some people that you've hurt that hurt you, they're no longer alive. Come see me. I'll try to guide you how to get over it, how to move past it. There's other people that you honestly, they're alive, but if you try to work it out with them, it only make matters worse. Come see me. I'll talk to you. I'll show you things you can do. Give you some tools. Put them in your hand so you can work through it. Because some people, all the time, it's just like poking a beehive, kicking a beehive when you try to talk to them. You cannot keep records of wrong. It will kill you. Next. Love does not delight in evil. That word delight in evil means be happy when an injustice occurs. Let me ask you a question. Is there somebody in your life that when you see them get hurt, it makes you happy? Here's what I hear people say when that happens. Karma's a tough thing, ain't it? You ever hear about karma? And when people say that karma's some tough stuff, what they're saying is they hurt me and now they're being hurt and I'm so glad. Sick 'em, God. Sick 'em. No, love does not delight in evil. Love rejoices with the truth, sympathizes with gladness. Y'all said, well, I thought we were coming to get a Valentine's sermon. You are. This will help your marriage a lot. If you do this stuff, it will help your marriage a lot. It'll help every friendship you got. It'll help every relationship you got. Love always protects. That word protects means to build a roof over someone to protect them. All right, I'm just going to... Think of no evil means to take no worthless inventory. I'm not going to take a worthless inventory over somebody. Okay? So watch this. It rejoices not in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. And it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Get ready. 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these three is love. Agape love. You see, all three of these are important to your spiritual life. But in the middle of it, the sandwich, the driving force is agape. Because agape love brings life. It brings passion. It brings purpose. Y'all guys come up and get ready to play something. Love never fails. I'll be going to PCDC tomorrow in the Sharp program, and I'm baptizing 7 people. What's really cool is I didn't offer it. They asked me, how can we be baptized? I said, we'll make it work. This is the second baptism since we've been going there. One thing I found out about these guys is, number one, they're just like us. Every last one of them, they're just like us. I hear this all the time. Will the person I done wrong ever forgive me? But greater than that, I hear is, Pastor, tell me how I can forgive myself. And always, I bring up agape. I use agape all the time with them. I use agape all the time with all those guys there. But also, I teach them all the time about 1 Corinthians 13. I hear people all the time say, we don't talk enough about heaven and hell in church. Well, I think we do. Can we talk about it more? Probably. But right now, the greatest thing we need to be talking about is love. Number one. That's the cure for all this mess that's going on in this world. Agape love. That is the beginning of the mix of the long line of things that need to be done. In our families, in our marriages, on our jobs. If you were watching closely these words, I hope you were taking inventory of yourself. The Bible says that agape beareth all things, which means not only to patiently endure, but to overlook the faults of others. That word beareth literally means to cover. To cover the failures of another. Wow. Instead of broadcasting it, you cover it. You help them. It believes all things. It hopes all things, looking for the best possible outcome. And then it endures all things. That word endures is a military term. Listen carefully. I didn't put it up here because I just want to talk. Endures all things is a military term, and it means love does not give up the fort. That's what it means, to not give up the fort. It stands its ground, and it continues in spite of everything that can be thrown against it. Wow. All my life and all your life, there's going to be people that you may not like, and the word like is literally, y'all have things in common. You may not like them, have things in common, but at the same time, I can still love them, especially with agape love. But the cool thing, Eros will give up the fort. Storge will give up the fort. Philadelphia, brotherly love will give up the fort. But agape will stand and hold its ground, even when it's beat to a pulp and has a cross strapped on its back. It will not give up. It keeps going until the mission is fulfilled. I ask God all the time, God, bathe me in agape. You know, I was just talking about the gas station last week and people coming by, and I was getting gas two nights ago. It was raining, getting gas under the shelter, and I hear, sir, I'm looking around, I don't see anybody, and there's a guy on the road in the rain. I turned and said, yes, sir, can I help you? And he said, you got any spare change? I said, are you hungry? He said, I sure am. I said, well, go in that store right there. When I get through my gas, I go pay for it. He said, I can't go in there. That's why I'm on the road. I said, why can't you go in there? He said, I've been panhandling, and they won't let me in. Looked across the street, and there's a new little market grill. He said, they serve hot food over there. I said, well, go over there. When I get through getting my gas, I'll go get you something to eat. Whatever you want, we'll get it. So now I'm out there standing in the rain. I go there, and I walk inside. I said, what do you want? And I said, why don't you go inside here? He said, because I've been kicked out of here too. I said, what for? He said, for panhandling. I said, well, hold on. I'll go get you. What? He said, I just want two hot dogs and a bottle of water. I said, that's it. So I got in 3 hot dogs and some cookies and potato chips and a drink. And while I'm checking out, this guy walks in, an older guy, disgusted, says, "You got a problem outside." And the guy said, "What kind of problem I got, sir?" He said, "You got a man out there panhandling." And I said in my breath, "Y'all know I just seen him here." I walked out and handed him that food. And all I could think was, what if that was D.C.? Daniel, Bethany, Nick, Tamala, Linda. I'd want somebody to do that for them. So I got wet. I got held up late. I didn't really like being out there. But agape held the fort. Didn't give up. Of course, after I gave him all that, he wanted to know if I could give him some money. And I said, "Dude, I don't do that. No money. I'll feed you whatever you want, but no, you ain't getting any money." He said, "Okay, thank you, sir." And he drives off on his bike in the rain, pouring rain. Some of y'all right now, you got some things going on that you cannot figure out how to fix it. Let me just tell you something. You don't have to figure out how to fix it. What you need to do is let agape kick in. When agape kicks in, and now you're holding the fort, and you look at the things we just talked about tonight, you watch what God does. God can fix it for you once you get out of the way. And how do you get out of the way? Agape will move you out of the way. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. First off, is there anybody here that knows their relationship with God is not proper, it's not correct, it's lacking? You're needing God to help you in any way whatsoever to get back in there. Improper relationship with Him. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm talking to you right now. You know, you don't have to be beat over the head. If your relationship with God is in trouble, your relationship with God is not where it should be, can you slip that hand up quickly? Just slip it up quickly. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me before we go into something else. Here it is. Y'all pray with me. Lord, I need you to touch me this day. I need you to transform me this day. I need you to pull me up under your wing. I'm ready for you to take charge. I accept your grace. I accept your love. I accept your transformation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now just keep your eyes closed, your head down. Maybe you're here right now and you're having a problem with a person or people, a situation, and you can't seem to find a way. You're frustrated. And all it does is inflame you. And you're ready to see something happen. I'm telling you, the starting point is agape. When you use agape, you're not being a doormat. You're not just laying down and letting it run over you. Because agape also is firm. It holds the fort. But at the same time, it holds the fort through the power of God, not through these other things. If you're having a problem and you're needing God to help you, and you saw these things today, and you know that you've been doing it wrong, and you're ready for God to help mobilize you with His love and power and anointing and agape in order that you can do what needs to be done. When nobody looking around, every eye closed, you put that hand up and say, I'm needing it. I'm needing it. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Everybody put your hands up. Everybody. Repeat after me. Father, I'm helpless without you. Father, I'm hurting and I need you to lift me up in your arms of love. Infuse me with agape and help me be a channel of your power and of your love. And I thank you this day for that transfusion. In the name of Jesus, I give all these relationships to you right now. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Y'all coming out on Tuesday nights. We're having a good time.